Blog Talk Radio.
You hold me like no one else. Blessing you are to me, Lord, to say I'm blown away by your amazing.
everybody to help me say, oh, amazing grace, your love is amazing, amazing, hallelujah, hallelujah,
Shabbat Shalom, Yisrael family and listening audience. Welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Yaral of Beth Yahweh Congregation in Baltimore, Maryland. As always, I'll remind everyone to grab your study tools, your notepads, your iPads, your pens, your pencils, your Bible, Bible dictionary, anything that you feel as though that you might need for this study tonight. As always, I'll start off with a brief prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we thank you for allowing us to get through this week and coming to this moment to give you praise and give you honor. We thank you for thy son, Yahushua, our Lord and our Savior, our Redeemer, and soon coming King. And we thank you for opening our hearts, opening our eyes, to the wonders of your word and the things that Yahushua has done for us. May we reciprocate what he has done for us and lay our life down for him, allowing the light that he has put in us to shine forth and bring others closer to us to hear the good news. Father, we thank you for the strength and the protection that you've given us. We thank you for being Eya Asha Eya to us and giving us what we need to bring us closer to you. In Yahushua's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments and took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Sabbath as a heritage. A remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Amen. Shalom once again. I'm your host, Yaral, and this is Can It Be That Simple? And this lesson today is pretty interesting because over the years, you know, I've had an opportunity to go to various department stores. And this is, you know, this is the kind of the title of this particular lesson. And it's similar to, you know, when you go to department stores like Bed Bath & Beyond and Sears, they have done things throughout the course of their, I guess, you know, I don't know, how would you say it, their tenure of being a department store, is they always try to do something that gain the loyalty of their customers. And in one store, like Bed Bath & Beyond, their slogan is, they will accept any return regardless of when you purchased it. And I witnessed that one time. So that's where the title of this lesson comes from. And the Father wants our loyalty. And because he wants our loyalty, he accepts all returns regardless of the condition. When we decide what we want to turn back to the Mighty One, when we want to turn back to Yahweh, we want to turn back to Yahushua, he's going to accept us regardless of the condition that we're in, because he's going to clean us up. He's going to make us new again. He's going to accept us. The question is, do we accept him? Are we showing him loyalty? Because we have read in the narrative how Yahweh is loyal to Israel, how Yahushua is loyal to Israel. Well, Yahushua is loyal to humanity because he constantly accepts humanity back to him, because he's preparing them for the Father. So where does your loyalty lie? Is your loyalty more in the strength of your arm, or is your loyalty in the strength of the Father, who uses Yahushua as his general manager? And see, when we look at it from that perspective, you know, every store or every organization has a general manager who manages the people. And they create other people, you know, when you deal with a chain of command. But the whole responsibility of the organization is that general manager, because he has been given authority to do a task. And he has the authority to get it done. As the old saying, by any means necessary, utilizing the people that he has to get it done. So we're going to start off in Psalms. Psalm 78, verse 1 to 8. And we're going to stop along the way and we're going to read a couple of definitions. And it reads, the contemplation by Asaph. Hear my teaching, my people. Turn your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which you have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generations to come the praises of Yahweh, his strength, and his wondrous deeds that he has done. For he established a covenant and Jacob, and appointed a teaching in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children who shall be born, who should arise and tell their children, that they might set their hope in Yahweh, and not forget Yahweh's deeds, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not make their hearts loyal, spirit was not steadfast in Yahweh. So we're going to stop here in this scripture. The word loyal is 539 in your Hebrew concordance. And that word is amand. And it means to confirm. It means to support. Now, the definition is a primary root properly to build up or support, to foster as a parent or a nurse, figuratively to render or be firm or faithful, to trust or believe, to be permanent or quiet, morally to be true and certain. I'm going to stop right here. See, when we look at the word loyal, it points to faithful. It points to faith. It points to something that is true and that is certain. See, when we understand what our forefathers have went through and what they have witnessed, those things are faithful and they're true. And see, and when we read Psalm 78, it's talking about how this information is being passed down from generation to generation. And we have also been taught in these occurrences of Yahweh interacting with his people, teaching his people, so that his memory and his knowledge is not erased from humanity's existence. Even though we come into a time where they're trying to erase the things that Yahweh has done, and they're trying to put other deities in the place of Yahweh. But as we have learned over the years, Yahweh has a faithful few. He has those who are standing firm in his word and his truth. Just like in the days of Elijah. Elijah thought that he was the only one that was standing up for Yahweh. And Yahweh informed him, no, I have a number of people who have not bowed the knee. And that's just like now. Sometimes we feel as though we're the only group of Israelites that are walking according to Yahweh's ways, walking according to the word, walking according to the scriptures. But he reinforces his word, and he tells us throughout his word, no, you're not the only ones. You feel as though you're the only ones, but you're not. And our teacher brings that to our attention from time to time, letting us know, yes, there's others that's out there teaching the way that we're teaching, learning the spirit of Yahushua, cleaving to the laws and statutes of Yahweh. He lets us know that. He said, we just have not crossed that path yet. But that doesn't mean that we're not supposed to stand firm in his word and gather that knowledge and gather that wisdom of his word. So when that time comes and we cross someone who understands the scriptures like we do, we will cleave with them and we will dance like that flame and that fire. We'll dance until we unify and flow together. From here, we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 28. And it reads, love and faithfulness keep the king safe. His throne is sustained by love. Here we're going to go to the term faithfulness, which is 571 in the Hebrew concordance. And it's emet. And it means firmness, faithfulness, truth. When we talked about loyalty, loyalty points to truth. I also looked the word loyalty up. And I looked it up in the etymology dictionary. And the term for loyalty means, in their definition, it was fidelity, legitimacy, honesty, good quality. And this is loyalty. And then it said that it comes from loyal, and it means giving or showing firm or constant support or allegiance to a person or an institution, true or faithful in allegiance. Having or showing complete and constant support for someone or something, faithful. Are we constantly showing our support for Yahweh? We showing our support for Yahushua. Are we doing that? Are we showing that to one another? Can we look to one another and say that this person has constantly had me in mind? Verse 17. We've read this scripture many times. And it says, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. We're going to go to the Greek, and for the word truth, it's a 225 in your Greek lexicon. And it's aletheia, truth. And it says usage, truth, but not merely truth as spoken, truth of an idea, reality, sincerity, truth in a moral sphere, divine truth revealed to man, straightforwardness. See, this is truth. See, that's what the Father is sanctifying. He's separating us. See, when we read in 78, how was Israel, or how was the people being separated? They're being separated by their interactions with Yahweh. They're being separated because they can envision Yahweh dealing with them as a people, as a group, giving them the understanding of why they're doing the things that they're doing. See, he wants us not to be like our forefathers, stiff-necked and hard-headed, rebellious. He wants us to be with him, support him. Verse 116 and 117. And it reads, uphold me according to your word, that I may live. Let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold me up, and I will be safe, and will have respect for your statutes continually. See, the Father upholds us. Why? Because he has made a commitment to us as Israel. He has made a union with us. We read in the scriptures how there's an allegory where the Father says, Israel is my wife. And so, talks about how she played the harlot, but he still maintained loyalty to her despite what she has done. Are we that same way with Yahweh? Or are we just playing the harlot and expecting him to always take care of us and not doing anything in return? When he made that commitment to us, he said, listen to my voice. And his voice is his word. But sometimes we get caught up in the ritualism of man, the isms and schisms in our mind. And it causes us to be separated from our Father. It causes us to be separated from Yahushua, because we're not constantly staying in his laws, statutes, and judgments. We're not keeping him on the forefront of our minds. But yet we still want him to bless us. We want him to bless us. But we've learned over the years that we can force the Mighty One's hand, but we have to be obedient. We have to do what he says. We can't half do it. I can't do it Monday, Wednesday, and Friday and expect to be blessed on Sabbath. It's a constant thing that we must do. Joshua chapter 23, verse 14. And it reads, "Behold, today I'm going the way of all the earth. You know in all your heart and in all your soul that not one thing has failed of all the good things which Yahweh, your mighty one, spoke concerning you. All have happened to you. One thing has failed of it." See, this is the Father letting us know that he is true to what he says. He's true. And we see in the narrative how he is true to what he says. He is loyal to us, Israel. And that's if you call yourself Israel, if you acknowledge yourself as Israel. But as Israel, there is a responsibility that comes with that. Are you standing in that responsibility? Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 to 8. And it reads, "But let him who is taught in the word share all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. Mighty One is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." For understanding this, family, that the things that we reap, the things that we do, is going to come back to us. But if we are reaping the things of the flesh, only thing that we can get in return is corruption. Why? Because we are already corrupted. The only thing we're going to gain from reaping the corruption or sowing the corruption is more corruption. But if we change our ways and sow the goodness and the righteousness of Yahweh's word in our life, we will reap eternal life. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 18. And it reads, "Wicked people earn deceitful wages, but one who sows righteousness reaps a sure reward." So when we go out there and we're sharing the word of the Most High, are we planting the righteousness and the truth of his word, planting the truth of our understanding? Are we doing that? So now we're going to switch gears. We're going to switch gears for a minute. Just something to think about in regards to loyalty. But we're going to switch gears and we're going to talk about different situations in the scriptures that points to loyalty. In a sense, a relationship. Because when we are in certain types of relationships, loyalty comes into play. So from here, we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. And it reads, a man of many companions may be ruined, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. So these relationships that's going to be read, they're going to be read about two people who have a close relationship with one another. And ultimately, when we deal with these relationships that we're going to be reading in the narrative of the scriptures, these relationships are also supposed to point to our relationship that we have with the Most High, and also type of relationship that we can have with one another. So the first relationship we're going to talk about is the relationship. It's just a few, one scripture, a couple scriptures. It's not a extensive narrative. It's just a couple scriptures, and hoping that everyone gets the point in regards to the relationship. And this first relationship we're going to talk about is with dealing with Moses and Joshua. And that we're going to go to Exodus chapter 24, and we're going to read verses 12-14. And it reads, Yahweh said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and stay here, and I will give you the stone tablets with the law and the commandments that I have written, that you may take them. Moses rose up with Joshua, his servant, and Moses went up unto Yahweh's mountain. He said to the elders, wait here for us until we come again to you. Behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever is involved in a dispute can go to them. We'll stop here for a minute. When I initially read this, first thing came to my mind was Abraham, when he went to offer up his son, Isaac, on Mount Moriah, and how he took his son up to the mountain, and he left. He left elders, or he left some people behind. You know, as it says, he said in the scriptures, it says he left two people behind, and he told them that they would come back. But we're going to go to verse 13, and it says, Moses rose up early with Joshua, his servant. We're going to look at that word servant, and it's 8334 in your lexicons, and it means to minister, serve. And that word is daroth, daroth. And it means to minister, to serve. And so I looked the term minister up, and it says an agent acting for a superior, one who acts upon the authority of another. When Moshe took Joshua up to the mountain with him, he was taking someone that he was going to authorize to do something, or had the authority to do, that could follow in his footsteps. This is like we kind of realize now that this was like prophecy in regards to who was going to be taking Moses' place. But they had a relationship, because when you read into some other script, some other things, it's like he ministered to him. He assisted him. He gave him guidance, even though we know that Aaron was chosen to be his prophet, but he had Joshua right there by him as his assistant. We would say his right-hand man, his confidant. So we're going to go to the next relationship, and that's with David and Jonathan. And we're going to start in First Samuel chapter 18, verse 1 to 3. And it reads, when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and wouldn't let him go home to his father's house anymore. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. See, when we read this, this relationship that David and Jonathan had, spiritual, it was a spiritual connection that these two gentlemen had with one another. And as we know, David was there to assist Saul. Plus, David had also, as we know in the narrative, slayed Goliath. And he slayed Goliath in the spirit first. And then the physical manifestation came forth. So when we deal with our relationship with one another and ultimately with the Father and ultimately with Yahushua, we have to first have a spiritual connection with one another. And understanding that we are different individuals, but we're trying to be one in that one spirit of Yahushua, in that one mind. And see, when he sends his spirit back to us, that is what he's given us. He's given us his mind. And what is he giving us? He's also given us the mind of our Father in heaven. And it reads, Jonathan spoke good of David to Saul, his father, and said to him, do not let the king sin against his servant, against David, because he has not sinned against you, and because his work has been very good towards you. For he put his life in his hand and struck the Philistines, and Yahweh worked a great victory for all of Israel. You saw it and rejoiced. Why then will you sin against innocent blood to kill David without a cause? Right here, Jonathan is pleading for his friend David to his father, bringing up accounts where David has done great things and does not want the king's anger. He brings up, and he also brings to his attention that when David slayed Goliath, that he was happy and joyous because of what had happened. Because before David slayed Goliath, Saul was very grieved with his people because no one was willing to stand in the gap. And that's just like us now, being willing to stand in the gap and do that which is necessary to accomplish a task. From here, we're going to go to 2 Samuel. Chapter 1, verse 25 and 26. And it reads, how the mighty have fallen in the middle of the battle. Jonathan was slain on your high places. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. You have been very pleasant. Your love to me was wonderful, surpassing the love of women. So we're going to look at this word love in this scripture, and it's 160, and it's ahava, and it means love, beloved, like friend, and it comes from ahav, which is 158, which is 158 in your concordance, and it means an affection in a good or bad sense. So when we look at this, he loved their relationship was very affectionate, was very close. And as he put it, their relationship would surpass that of a man and a woman. And what surpasses that is the love that you have for the Father in heaven, the Father, Yahushua. It's like that love. Because when we read in the scriptures, the first time love is mentioned, and it says, and Abraham loved Isaac. And then the second time, and Isaac loved Rebekah. And when we study and understand, it's talking about the love for the Father in heaven and how the Father in heaven had a love for his son, Yahushua. And Yahushua showed us to love. The son of the mighty one, the son of Abba, his firstborn, showed us how to love one another. And he even told us, if you love me, love your brother as you love yourself. But sometimes it's difficult to love your brother because sometimes we as individuals hate ourselves. And how can we show love to another person when we have self-hate? So sometimes that might be the difficulty. But as we read the scriptures, it tells us to check ourselves, check ourselves. And if we're checking ourselves and trying to be in that right relationship with the Father through Yahushua, showing that loyalty, showing that faithfulness, showing that trust, it will become easier for us to trust someone else. See, Yahushua trusted his Father with his life. That's why he was willing to give it up, because he knew that his Father would raise it up. He knew that. And he showed that same love to humanity when he raised up Lazarus after 4 days of being in the grave. When he gave his disciples the authority, power to raise others up. And we had other prophets before Yahushua came on the scene who raised people up from the dead. But those people that were risen up before Yahushua came on the scene in the flesh, they had faith. They had levels of loyalty toward the prophet. They had faith that they could do these things. Just like in last week's lesson, we were talking about help my unbelief. See, the experience and things helps our unbelief. Our trust in things helps our unbelief. 2 Kings chapter 2. We're going to read verse 2, and we're going to read verse 9. And see, this particular relationship is dealing with Elijah and Elisha's relationship. Just a few scriptures in regards to this. 2 Kings chapter 2. We're going to read verse 2 and verse 9. And it reads, Elijah said to Elisha, please wait here for Yahweh has sent me as far as Bethel. Elisha said, as Yahweh lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. Verse 9, when they had gone over, Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you. Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be on me. So going back, when you read this particular narrative, see, Elijah is about to go off the scene. And so the scripture starts off with Elijah telling Elisha, hey, wait back, stay back, I got to go. And he's like, I'm not going to leave you. So let you know how close their relationship was, that he did not want to stay and wait for him. Then he asked for a double portion of his spirit be put on him. You know, when I read that, I was like wondering, you know, so I looked at that particular scripture and then made a reference to Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 17. And it reads, but he shall acknowledge the firstborn, the son of the hated, by giving him a double portion of all that he has. For he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. So when you read and, you know, go up a little further, it's actually talking about a father who has two children, you know, who has two wives. One is a favorite and one is not a favorite. And when he has a child by the not so favorite wife, and it's saying that, you know, he can't give the, you know, they both of the children are firstborns, but he can't give this double portion to the child that he wanted. Or of the wife that he wanted. He has to give it to the firstborn child. So this is what Elisha is asking for. He said, I want a double portion of your spirit. So from here, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse, and it reads, and I believe this is Paul is talking, and it reads, I do not write these things to shame you, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For though you have 10,000 tutors in Messiah, you do not have many fathers. For in Yahushua I became your father through the gospel. So this is, you know, just bringing it home as far as having a son that's not of your seed, but of the seed of righteousness, of the seed of the spirit. So because Elisha was that son of Elijah, he wanted that double portion that is entitled to a firstborn. So from here, we're going to go to Matthew's chapter 16. We're going to read verse 13 and then 15 and 16. And it reads, now, when Yahushua came into the parts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? Wait a minute. Now, I'm getting ready to switch over. Wait a minute, where am I? Wait a minute. Yeah, all right. Okay, now, this scripture, all right, now, we're getting ready to switch relationships. I apologize, I didn't put my little note on this one. All right, now, this relationship right here that we're about to start talking about is the relationship between Yahushua and Peter. All right, so going back, Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, and 15 and 16. And it reads, now when Yahushua came to the part of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? The Son of Man. Wait a minute, let me start over. Now when Yahushua came into the part of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? That's verse 13. Now we're going to go to 15. And it reads, he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the Living Mighty One. And so when Peter told him that, he realized that my Father is talking to him. My Father is talking to him, because when you read the few scriptures down, I think after that he said, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father in heaven did. So now he's realizing that there's a relationship that's about to be built on this particular situation where he's identifying who he actually is. So from here, we're going to go to 1 John. We'll go to 1 John 3, verse 18 and 19. And it reads, my little children, let not love in the word only. Wait a minute. My little children, let's not love in word only or with the tongue only, but in deeds and truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and persuaded of heart before him. So we understand that there's something that we must do. We can't just be a lip service when it comes to showing our loyalty to the Father, showing our loyalty to one another. As the old adage said, talk is cheap. You know, people can talk all day long. But when the rubber hits the road, some people just spin out and hydroplane. They're not nowhere to be found. When we look to the Father, we're always expecting the Father to be there for us. We're always expecting Yahushua to be there for us. But at the same time, are we there for him? Are we there for the Father? And how do we show our relationship that we have with Yahushua? How do we show our relationship that we have with the Father? It's demonstrated in how we interact with one another. As I think it's a scripture that says, how can you love a mighty one in which you can't see, but can have awe with your brother? See, many times we're quick to, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. But it's difficult to say, I'm sorry, bro. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But it's quick for us to say, Father, forgive me for I've sinned. Father, forgive me for I've sinned. But you can't ask your brother for forgiveness for what you have done. John chapter 13, verse 36. To 38, and it reads, Simon Peter said to him, Adonai, where are you going? Yahushua answered, where I'm going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow afterwards. Peter said to him, Adonai, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Yahushua answered him, you will lay down your life for me? Most certainly, I tell you, the rooster won't crow until you have denied me three times. See, Peter, as we read in the scripture, was real gung-ho. And right here, he's saying, I'll lay my life down. But as we, you know, when we read in the narrative, that's not what happened. That's not what happened. So when he came back and he talked to Peter, he said these things. And he was going to go to John chapter 21, verse 15 to 17. See, because we have to remember that Yahushua had a relationship with Peter. And he's given him another opportunity. He's allowing him to, he's accepting him, even though he understands the conditions that he was once in. And it reads in John chapter 21, again, verse 15 to 17. And it reads, so when they had eaten their breakfast, Yahushua said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And you know, I had to stop for this one also, because when I was reading this, I'm like, what is he talking about? So, you know, when you read into some of the commentary in regards to this particular scripture, it's talking about how Peter was stuck on the world. He was stuck on the world in certain aspects of his life. And so Messiah asked him, are you willing to let these things go for my sake? Okay, because before he did the same thing. He said that I will lay my life down. So now he's checking with him to see if he is willing to put his things down again. So we're going to start again. So when they had eaten their breakfast, Yahushua said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Adonai. You know that I have affection for you. He said to him, feed my lambs. So I'm going to stop here for a minute. We're going to go to the word love in this particular scripture. Oh, if you look it up, it's in your Greek lexicon, and it's agape. And then when we look at the term agape, that means this is an unconditional type of love. But then when we get down in the further down in the scripture, when Peter answers him, he says, I have affection for you. So when we look at this particular term, and this 5368 in your Greek lexicon, it's philo, which is dealing with a friendship. And he's showing affection based on his experiences with him. So one is unconditional, and one is based on conditions. If we look at the friendship or the relationship. And sometimes we as individuals, we do that with one another. We have a certain type of love for one another or a certain type of relationship with one another. We put out there as if it's unconditional, but it's based on conditions. It's based on what you can do for me. But that's not how we deal with the Father, and that's not how the Father deals with us. Because the Father can do anything he wants for us. And the only thing he wants us to do is to obey his voice. And technically, as we read in the scripture, there is nothing that we really can do for the Father but listen to him, but obey him. And that's all he's asking us to do. We as humans have a problem with doing that. We want to listen to other people. That's one of the things Yahushua said to the disciples, or said to the disciples when he was with them. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware of the leaven of the Herodians. Beware of the leaven of the Sadducees. Beware of the teachings. Beware of the doctrine. because Israel has always gotten caught up in paying attention to other people's way of life, constantly playing the harlot, listening to other people. Why? Because ultimately that is our nature. Listen to those whispers versus understanding and paying attention to the clear voice that's being told to us, giving us the ins and the outs, the ups and the downs, and giving us an option to make a choice. But yet he still includes in it and giving us a choice, telling us to choose life. Choose me. I got the way. I got it for you. Going back to John verse 15 again. So when they had eaten their breakfast, Yahushua said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Adonai. You know that I have affection for you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Adonai. You know that I have affections for you." He said to him, "Tend to my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you have affection for me?" Peter was grieved because he asked him the question. He asked the third time, "Do you have affections for me?" He said to him, "Adonai, you know everything. You know that I have affections for you." Yahushua said to him, "Feed my sheep." See, when we go through this, you know, he said to him, "My lambs first," because lambs are young sheep, and they have to be nurtured and taken care of, have to be tended to just a little more. And then as they get older, as he says, "Tend to my sheep." So once they get out of the milking stage, now give them a little more understanding. And then to him again, "Feed my sheep." So now we get to a stage where we're just being fed. But, you know, you can't feed people too much. We have to be mindful of how we feed people the word of Yah. He might be feeding us, you know, because, you know, just look at some people, you know, stature is different than others. Oh, and they eat more. Same thing spiritually. Some people can accept more of that spiritual truth. Some people have to take less. But we have to be skilled, as the scriptures say, skilled with his word and knowing an individual. And the only way you can really know an individual is that you have to interact with that individual. You have to talk to that individual. You have to be around that individual so that you can know that individual. And that's what Yahushua did with the disciples when he was here on earth. He fellowshipped with them. He interacted with them. He traveled with them so that he can know them and that they can know one another, understanding their strengths and their weaknesses, understanding who is fit to do this and who is not fit to do that. But you're not slighting anyone because everyone has their own particular skill set. And when you put these skill sets together, you have a complete unit. And that's where we read in the scriptures, and he say, we are making up the whole body of the Messiah. See, because the whole body is made up of many units and many elements and many systems, but it functions as one. And so, and that's what we have to do, function as one to show our loyalty to the Father. And the more that we function as a unit, the better off we will become as individuals. Because what are we doing? We're constantly helping one another. If we pay attention to the human body, the body helps, it helps, each part helps us, helps the next. But man has to do his part to maintain a healthy body. So Yahushua is doing what he needs to do to maintain a healthy body. But if the body is rejecting the things that is coming into it, what's going to happen? Eventually, the body will die. And that's not what we want. We want unity. We want to show our loyalty. We want to show our faith. We want to show our trust in the Most High, in Yahushua, in one another. We have to learn to prioritize things, maybe just a little better. Because sometimes that becomes the issue of why we are slacking in this part and slacking in that part, because we're not prioritizing our life properly according to this word. We're governing our life by. Many years ago, I can recall saying, this is a lifestyle. This is not a religion, a lifestyle. It's a way of living. Does that sound, it sounds good back then when you're trying to show that you're different from people. But now, everybody and their mama saying, it's a way of living, it's a lifestyle. Everybody's saying, thus saith Yahweh. And this is the final scriptures for the night. And this is Zechariah, chapter 13, verse 7 through 9. And it reads, awake a sword against my shepherd and against the man who is close to me, said Yahweh of armies. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. And I will turn my hand against the little ones. It shall happen that in all the land, says Yahweh, two parts in it will be cut off and die, but the third will be left in it. I will bring the third part into fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will test them like gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. And they will say, Yahweh is my mighty one. Understand this, Israel, listening audience, family and friends. We're like that silver. We're being refined. We're like that gold. It's being tested. And we're calling on the name of Yahweh. We're calling on the name of Yahushua. And he hears us. He hears us. But we must do our part. We must do our part. And sometimes doing your part is difficult because you have not done it in so long. But as we read the narrative, you know, we've all read the narrative of the prodigal son. He got to the point where he said, hey, I can go back home. See, that's the title of this lesson. All returns are accepted, regardless of condition. He will accept you back. He will accept you returning back to him. Because we, as individuals, may have learned our lesson and realized that life is really bad without Yahweh. Life is really not good without Yahushua. Life is difficult without the protection of the Father. Sometimes we realize that. And when we realize that, we can call out. We can call out. And he will hear. Just like we know his voice, he knows our voice. We read in the scriptures, we are the apple of his eye. He always sees us. He always sees us. And when we walk too far, he yells, gives us a signal. Just like he did Abraham. Hold your hand, for now I know you love me. You know? Or like he did with Abraham. Hold up, let me go down there and check him out. Sometimes he come down here and visit us. But we don't even realize he's visiting us. But we know that we change after these certain situations happen in our life. He visits us. He calls out to us. Because he's loyal to us. So family, hopefully you got something from this, and I'll reiterate, go back and go over these scriptures and see what the Father tells you in these scriptures. Because when he led me through these, led me through loyalty to him. Loyalty to Yahushua. Loyalty to those who are walking in the ways Yahweh, keeping those laws, statutes, and judgments, keeping the laws, and had a testimony of Yahushua, and know who the Father is. See, I thought I was getting ready to finish, but years ago, I used to, you know, when I would talk to people in regards to the scriptures, I would go to Proverbs chapter 30, I think it's verse 4. And many times, you know, I would ask the gentleman, I'm like, you know, tell, yo, who is this? Who are you talking about? You know, because it talks about who is descendant or who's descendant, you know, who has grabbed his, you know, hand, you know, grabbed the wind in his fist, and what is his name and what is his father's name, if you can tell. Went there because many people during that time was always proclaiming. And I was asking them, because I used to say to them people back in the day, I said, if you can prove that I'm wrong in what I'm doing, I'll start serving and worshiping the way you do. To this day, no one has done that. Why? Because I'm standing in the truth. And I'm realizing that I'm standing in the truth. You know? So when we, as individuals, walk in this way. There are certain scriptures that they are go-to scriptures, and that's my go-to scripture, Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4. Tell me what the Father's name is. Tell me what his son's name is. you know. And I know those who are listening tonight, I know you know who I'm talking about. Because he's protecting you just as well as he's protected me. And his son's light shine through you also, causing those who are in darkness to come to the light of truth. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, I thank you for allowing us to come together on this Sabbath day to hear the wisdom of your word, to see the light of your truth. We ask of thee to continue to allow the spirit of Yahushua that you have imparted in us or have implanted in us continue to grow in brightness and in radiance. May we continue to allow that spirit to cleanse us and to keep us, so that we can always give you praise and give you honor. Father, we thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for your tender mercies. We thank you for your healing. We thank you for your strength. Thank you for all that you give us. For we all need something different, and we thank you for giving us what we need as individuals. As you give us what we need as individuals, may we give you what you desire, which is obedience, which is love. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. And we ask of thee, Father, to continue to strengthen us in our conscious mind as well as our unconscious mind, assisting us in standing for your truth and upholding Yahushua. For through Yahushua we have been given the hope of meeting you. Thank you once again, Father, for choosing us all. Me, my wife, and you all that are listening to this broadcast. We thank you for choosing us to know who you are and to be in your service. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed are you, Yahushua, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who blesses Yisrael with peace. Shabbat shalom, Yisrael. May you all have a peaceful slumber. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Just an offering. right here. My life is here, and I'll be a living sacrifice for you. You're a fire, the refiner. I want to be true. I want to be tried. living sacrifice.